Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode number 182. On this episode, I had a horrible meltdown about AB InBev and being an evil giant corporation.
We reviewed Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number one.
I talked about my love for Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, as well as loving Caraco in my drinks.
Fuck you.
It's my first time, and I somehow managed to get on the subject of man sex at the YMCA. and free porn.
So enjoy Drunk on Comics episode number 182, Snow Cones in a Bat Shell.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, we just kind of get in the flow and start recording things, and
we should do it on my porch on the west side some night. That'd be funny.
Did all the homeless people walk up? Or
no.
The crazy drunk people that just showed up on our porch that one night when we were playing D&D?
Oh, that's right! Yeah. And it was super awkward. I was like, dude, we're playing D&D. Do you want us to start playing fucking cribbage right now? Like, yeah, we're playing D&D, and these two guys come up, hey, saw you partying and stuff, just, what's up?
It was like, so weird, like,
we're playing.
You guys have to roll to see if you can join.
Yeah, and then I gave them this.
Dice?
I gave them this look, like, really, dude. And they're like, "We'll have a good time if we see you partying later. We'll be by. You know, we're just up the street, man. Come say hi." It was really awkward. Like, it was so awkward.
Well, for
like, are we getting robbed?
No, it's just because the way that it was, like, I'm facing the door. I was DMing the session, and I have all my shit. I have the shroud.
Yeah.
So they see dragons and, like, flaming arrows and stuff on a shroud. Like, they didn't see any. You guys playing poker? It's like, do you see cards on this table? There's a grid. You'd probably think we're doing math homework right now.
Well, for people hearing that new voice, that is James, who...
Oh, he's been recording.
Oh, yeah. This is...
I just kind of just sneak in hitting that
button. He ninjas the start.
So people don't know. Because it's kind of like, this is the shit we talk about besides not recording.
Oh, okay.
We are this nerdy, and so I just kind of like to start it at some point, and then eventually tell you guys, and we're starting the podcast now.
Then we don't start with, hey,
I've never had to puff my chest up to, like, defend a D&D game. Like, it's like, get off my porch, bro! Like, what? Like,
you better hope I don't roll a one.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Because then I will trip and fall as I try to shove you off of my porch.
Exactly. I don't want to hurt
myself. Probably hug you.
Yeah.
But this is Drunk on Comics. Tony here with Linz, Adam, or not Adam, with
Barrett. Thanks. Sorry, I'm about 7 inches taller than him. And not a ginger.
Yeah.
But hey, it's cool, I guess.
You know this cool, like, rat
and James.
Tail.
I do have a rat tail going. That's pretty
gnar, dude.
I didn't do anything on the hair.
Did, like, you move to Sparta?
You have a mullet.
I do. I really need a haircut. I have this, like,
I don't think you should cut it. I think you should rock that shit
I am
hard.
Party in the back.
Actually,
for
just grow the bottom out, the little curls right there. Just grow that out.
That's the thing with my hair. Like, if I don't get a haircut, like, every week, it just goes, brat, rat tail mullet.
Do like my aunt did in the 80s and dye it.
Just go on a diet.
Just
eat
diet. Dude, if I go on a diet, I'm going to die. Look at me. I'm like 3 pounds soaking wet.
I tried to change that.
You did.
Force feed? Did he shove a feeding tube?
No, we kept going to the gym.
No, I kept bringing it. I kept going to the gym, but
I almost died in a sauna. It was...
This is so not nerdy of you.
No. We don't talk about the gym here, guys. That's off limits.
I just left it. I apologize. I'm still...
Yes, but James has been part of this group for a little while now, but not really doing anything or contributing. But
he's in the Facebook group.
Yeah. I had this glorious idea of coming in here and kicking the door in and being Kramer, like, hey guys, what's up? Hey, loudness, hey.
Yeah, but we're recording a little bit later due to my massive hangover from my birthday. So
from, like,
happy birthday, by the way, Tony.
3-day epic adventure, more than just your birthday. Well, you've been drunk since Thursday, or?
Yeah.
Essentially?
You remember Tony has a hangover on any day ending in Y?
But
yeah, I was going to say, actually, most recordings I am either drunk, getting drunker, still drunk, hungover. Man, my liver hates me.
You have the strongest liver of all time.
So yes. Are you just old or really old now?
Oh, just old. I'm okay. Not Garrick old.
Okay. Are you 32 or 33 now?
33.
30. Jesus
old man
Christ.
Balls himself.
Jesus. We're not that far behind.
I am taking old Derek's spot now, I guess, in this group.
Well, I'm still older.
Be the
than
old
you.
Geezer.
I remember not having my license and us drive like you driving us to Steak and Shake.
Oh, I don't.
My
really
sophomore
remember.
Year in high school.
That's because you drank that memory away. Those brain cells went.
Back in high school.
You had the Crown Vic. I swear to God, didn't they have the thing have a calculator in it?
Yeah, it was a Oldsmobile.
Okay.
98 was called. But it was really.
But it wasn't 98.
No, that because they called it 98 when it came out in like 80. But
was it 98 the car of the
sounded
future?
Like the future. Yeah, like it had like digital dash. It talked to me. Ding. It would tell me your door is ajar or you know wiper fluid low. And then when the car started breaking down, it would not stop bothering me of like transmission fluid
what
low.
What a future car!
Ding! Hey man, someone stole your battery. That's Eddie Murphy. Don't laugh at me. Laugh at Eddie Murphy.
Well, James, tell us quick something about yourself before we get involved in what we're going to be discussing.
I learned a lot. All right,
that's enough, folks. So the book we're going to review.
Well played.
No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, what are you reading? What do you do?
I learned a lot about friendship and perceptive skills from Godzilla movies.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I got my like nerdiness from. And then from there, it just went on to... My dad took my comic books away from me when I was, like, 9. And then I didn't, like... And then from then on, oh, literally, like, he was like, you should read real books. And then that's when I started, like, reading novels and stuff like that rather than comic books. And then I got back into comic books, like, 2 years ago. So... Yeah, and that's no lie. Like my dad read me like Dune and H.P. Lovecraft as bedtime stories. He can vouch for that.
It's true. Yeah. We had many a Dune conversation on his front porch.
Yeah,
in our youth.
So yeah, comic book. I mean, I'm getting back into comic books, obviously. But I'm not in the DC or Marvel persuasion.
What do you read
per se? I do a lot of Image stuff. I love a lot of Image stuff. Lately, it's been low. I'm a big fan of Lowe. I just read the first volume of Spread. Spread is fantastic. Luther Strode. I'm having a lot of fun with that. Very violent, and that's the fun part. But no, I work in a factory, so I have a lot of fun time to read comic books and not work.
So, all right. Yeah.
I read a lot of science fiction, too, which is... That's kind of like my staple. Like that's like my go-to. Like it's the whole space opera thing. That's that I always. It's space operas are such a, it's a loose term now. It could mean anything. So, yeah.
Cool. It's good to know, and hopefully you come on the show a little more often. And
I plan to. I plan
awesome.
To. Yay! Because
you will be a welcome addition to the conversation, as well as like the neophyte of some of this stuff. You'll be the one person that's nerdy, but like you don't know as much as we do, so you're gonna be kind of like asking those questions.
So I'm gonna get alpha nerded, and then I'm gonna get mad and leave. I'm just kidding.
We're gonna be able to just tell you terrible stories and lie to you, and you'll be like, okay.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I remember cool. that. Like you know when you talk about made up.
I remember when Iron Man fought Godzilla. Yeah, that happened.
Actually, no, it did.
What?
Yeah, Iron Man got or no, the Avengers got put up against Godzilla when Marvel did Godzilla's. Mm.
Now who's the Neophyte?
Yeah, what up? That totally backfired on you.
Well, fuck.
Well, you heard that Wolverine died this past year, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a big moment, 2015. But they also revealed that he's actually related to the Summers. He's, like, Cyclops' brother. And that was a big...
How the hell did they do that?
That was a big one. That
retconning.
Yeah. Yes. I'm totally fucking with
he's
you.
He's totally kidding.
See, no, then that's what you could do. Like... Like you could totally do that shit. Like
the look on his face. I wish people could have seen it. He's
yeah,
like,
really?
What?
Like, really? Like I know enough. I know enough to know that like Wolverine is significantly older than Scott Summers. Like
he could be an ancestor.
Yeah, it's still yeah. Somehow
he's
maybe
old as fuck.
Uncle
yeah.
or something.
He could have done like a Futurama thing. So like Cloud is like great grandmother yeah. or something.
Oh. Could be like me at work and talk about like and totally mix Darkseid and Thanos' name up. Yeah, I've done that.
Pretty much
the
same.
That happened in this room all the time.
I almost got my ass kicked just for mixing Thanos with Darkseid at work.
See, that's not that big of a faux pas. That's actually something that happens all the time with normal nerd people, too. I mean, they are the same being, pretty much.
Yeah.
But any other cool, notable things from the past year that happened that we can help James get caught up on?
Batman kind of died and then didn't die, but still kind of died.
Doesn't that happen like every pub? I mean, every
but he's got the chair, which is also badass.
Well, that's different from like the standard Batman thing. Oh, that yeah, is pretty sweet.
Is he Professor X a chair?
So there was this whole like Endgame thing that happened where Joker went, "Fuck you, Batman! I actually want to kill you now." Because I
thought that was always the plan.
No, he was just like toying with him. But this time he decided, "I want to kill Batman."
Oh.
So they pretty much killed each other.
Oh, okay.
And then Batman was gone, and then Commissioner Gordon took over as Batman. With a robot
with
suit.
With a bunny suit. The Chappie suit.
Oh, I was about to ask how he would do that. So
he was only dead for like 3 issues, though, and then he was back, but he had no memory because his brain like erased the fact that he was Batman, which is pretty sweet.
So AARP Batman.
But now he's finally in like the most recent like Batman issue. He's finally like clicked that he was Batman. So he's probably going to be back to Batman. And Joker's also still alive.
The only Batman comics I ever read was Batman versus Predator. And that was pretty badass.
That was badass, yeah.
It was at, what, 3 issues or 4 issues?
4 issues.
Okay.
I think they did 2 series of it, too, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Back when you could easily do properties and go from that.
Because Batman had gotten his ass kicked by Predator, which obviously it would go back and forth. I was rooting for the Predator because I was a fan of Predator before I was a Batman.
So you just wanted Batman to die?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I just wanted the Predator to put him in his place. Like, yeah, monsters are cool, too.
Okay, I should have posed that question a little bit better, though. Derek, what was your most nerdiest favorite thing of the last year?
That's tough. Star Wars is up there, I would say. I was too excited. And
take that away, though, because I think that's everyone's kind of number one nerdiness.
I don't even
thing.
Think
you
nerds...
asked me what my favorite thing was, you dick.
I don't even
second
think that
favorite
applies.
Thing.
Second favorite thing.
And if I don't like it, I'm going to ask you your third.
I really liked the new Midnighter comic. That's more obscure.
Okay,
there you go.
I know probably not as many people have read it. I know it's on like the top 10-ish in the DC comics, but I would, if you haven't checked it out, suggest that. It's pretty sweet. I've been following that. So that'd be one from this year that I liked.
All right.
Are we doing favorite books or favorite moments?
Favorite nerdiness or, I mean...
So my favorite part of this year was meeting Scott Snyder at C2E2. That was, I stood in line for like 3 hours for that, and it was amazing. He's super nice. But book-wise, it was definitely Gem and the Holograms.
I would not have guessed that at all.
I went to my first Comic-Con this year.
Oh.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. And yeah. I even dressed up, too. I was Hellboy.
Nice.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That same Comic-Con, I walked up to Ryan Stegman. He looked like he was about to fall asleep in front of me. That was pretty funny. It was on Sunday, and he was exhausted. He's like, dude, I'm so tired.
Yeah, but now that you mentioned meeting people, yeah, I've met a lot of people this past year at conventions. So I'm just going to throw conventions as my favorite. Just throw them all together. Doesn't matter which one I went to. Meeting and hanging out with our comic book family. Star Wars would be up there. Mad Max was also awesome.
Mad Max was awesome.
Oh, this was a year of nerddom. Like, there was a lot of shit that happened this year, and the bar just keeps getting raised. Like, I was, for my birthday, talking to some friends who, one of them, she had never seen Star Wars ever. Her boyfriend loved them, and trying to get her to watch 4, 5, and 6 before seeing The Force Awakens, she said that she didn't want to watch them, she didn't care, but she... brought him, they went to see the movie because she knew that he really wanted to see it. Well, she also did her research to actually understand what was going on. We're having this nerd talk, me and him kind of, and talking about some theories and everything, and I go like, you know, and possibly the one of the theories that I heard out there was Rey could be possibly Emperor Palpatine's granddaughter or something, like that line, which I was like, that's something I didn't hear before, but that'd be interesting. But I go, and Laura, you wouldn't know this, but Emperor Palpatine, she goes, fuck you, man. I at least know who the people are. And it's like that thing there. Someone who would never have watched Star Wars or anything doing the research because of this gigantic movie that is kicking ass.
I really liked how many people I saw on Facebook that were like, I never saw Star Wars, but I started watching all of them. And they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, I still haven't seen the new movie.
But that's a little more...
Sorry.
What?
Still haven't seen it yet.
You get out of this house.
Yeah, you are not allowed to be here.
This is over.
But when does the time that we can't talk about it like end. Like
I think we gotta give it a little while.
If you say shit now, I don't care. I'm gonna see it eventually.
Oh, I don't care about you hurting your spoiler. I'm talking about everyone else.
Oh, in general.
I think we still gotta give it a little more time.
Yeah,
it's maybe. Still only been a couple weeks.
All right, I'm gonna say a month's time. So. Two, three more weeks.
Yeah. That seems about right.
No, I do want to say this. I was at a New Year's party, obviously, on the 31st, and it was my old boss and his wife. His wife thought that The Phantom Menace was her favorite movie, and I almost had to fight a woman.
She thought that it was her favorite movie?
It was really good, apparently. And
Did she see it when she was eight?
No, she just watched it, like, recently. They watched all of them and then went and saw it in the theater, and she really liked the prequels, and I went, oh, no. No.
So it's awesome that now people can be nerdy out in public.
Yes, like, it's so accessible.
10 years ago, this would not. Yeah, this would not have been like the norm. People would not be talking like this.
Especially
that they
the fact that I mean, with our generation kind of coming more. I mean, with prominence. I mean, especially in the whole writing aspect, is writers and directors are digging deeper to find stuff to actually make movies about and shows about. I mean. For instance, I think I saw something about Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing Dream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's been confirmed yet, but
he's pushing real hard to get that movie made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and I know that Ready Player One.
Oh my God.
Has been talked about now.
Steven Spielberg is behind that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm and the so same thing. I mean, they're even talking about Armada now more. So, yeah. I mean, I think the more our generation comes into this is, I mean, they're digging deeper. They're finding better stuff to make movies about rather than just like, hey, let's do another Batman. Hey, let's do another Superman. Hey, let's do it. No, it's
well, I think another big thing is podcasts in general, though, are helping bring that nerd culture. Like, people like us who drink at the bar and talk about comic books and record a little bit of those conversations in this room, we're really setting the tone.
Yes, really. Toot your own horn there. Puff that chest, Sean.
Plus it makes all the people that made fun of us back in the day look like douchebags.
Yeah, because we're all their bosses now.
Exactly.
Fuck you guys. All right, well, we had a perfect segue earlier to get into the book.
I know, we missed it.
But we're guys kind of going on a different tangent to see of some nerdiness of the last year. But we are going to be reviewing, what is it, full title, Batman,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's it. Versus, it's just Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or I thought Batman crossover! Meets, but yeah.
No, yeah, just Batman.
You don't have a cool sound to feel like, crossover.
The issue title is Knights in a Half Shell, and it's Knights with a K.
Yeah, that's like so the Dark Knight. Funny.
I get it.
This is from DC.
Yes,
and IDW.
Oh, are they both on? Oh, yeah. They are. So it's a okay.
Yeah, but it felt with the front and everything, and it felt more of a DC book, and it obviously is for where they are in Gotham City, not just regular New York. Written by James Tynion.
Quattro.
The art and covers by Freddie E. Williams. The
Did you
second.
Guys plan that?
No.
Oh,
I just really like saying Quattro every time we get James Tynion.
The colors were by Jeremy Cowell, which the colors in here are really good, too.
But. Well, yeah, let's get into the art first, because the first page of them talking about being broken into this facility and this lady talking about to Batman, because you're kind of wondering, who is this person talking to? And those first shots of the turtles, I'm like, damn, man, that's fucking awesome. And then you see Bruce Wayne, who... I don't know if you could draw more muscles on the dude, but
he has a
that is muscles on muscles.
A diesel looking motherfucker right there.
He has an odd number of abs. That's like a 13 pack. It's a baker's dozen pack.
Yeah, it's a baker's dozen.
But yeah, the art in it is really good.
I really love the turtles. I mean, there's two different styles. I like cartoony, and I like realism. Like, cartoony for the colors and vibrance in your baby gem and the holograms. And then, like, realism, like, in as far as, like, Batman's usually drawn crisp and clean. And this felt a little bit of both because you do have more of a colorful turtles.
Yes.
And you have the darker of the Dark Knight. And it was really beautifully drawn. And everything looked great. And I think sometime we need to explore the many things that are in the Batcave because when it... finally shows.
Yeah, I saw a T-Rex. There's a T-Rex in the Batcave.
Well, there's always the T-Rex.
Yeah. T-Rex and a giant penny.
Yeah, but I actually didn't see the giant penny this time.
I don't, yeah.
I wonder if this takes place after he smashed all the owls with it.
Well, that's what, and trying to figure out where this takes place, I'm not sure. But he is working on armor, and I'm not sure which armor that could be. Like
the intimidation suit, isn't that what he said it was?
Yeah. But the one thing I'm going to just say, it's a critique. It's, you know, just my opinion. But the Ratmobile, I mean, that was the one thing that looked a little Rat-mobile. Off.
It looks like a cat spider.
Yeah.
It's a cat with fangs.
It is definitely the most cartoony part of this book. Is the Batmobile? I can't find it now.
I actually enjoy how
in a couple different places.
How threatening they actually make the turtles look when you know the combat is illustrated. They make them actually look intimidating rather than just cartoony.
Versus like the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, yeah, where they looked completely absurd, yeah, and very happy while they were, yeah, fighting.
And then they fought the Crooked Ninja Turtle Gang. And
yeah. Well, I love though how it's also this whole story seems really well written and paced, especially when the girl's telling him about these turtles showing up, and she's thinking that they're with the bad guys. So now Bruce is on his manhunt or turtle hunt for these people.
The bad guys being?
Well, he's thinking that it's the turtles.
Right.
That's all he's going on, these mutants. Because she didn't get a good look at them, but saying that they were inhuman.
I believe he said type. Metahumans.
Yeah. Metahumans, yeah.
That's their word for me.
I know.
But, and that he's going on when Alfred comes into the Batcave and talking about, like, you know, the many forms of ninjutsu. Could it be, you know, Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah.
And it was cool that he's like, no, these people seem more particularly set. And it's just like, I like that they're showing Bruce not being Almighty God knowing everything, but yeah, this is something that could be seemingly possible to deduce.
Well, it shows the gears working all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's always, I mean, he's got the knowledge and everything, so he's like, well, this could be this could be that. Turtles? Like, it shows, there's a lot of frames that just him going, turtles. Like, it's a question, but it's not a question.
Well, I felt that was almost, like, reminiscent of Turtles 2. Turtles!
When Shredder says, turtles!
Nice.
Mute, yeah.
But this page in particular, though, I love because of the conversation between Alfred and Batman. Him just going on, like, it flowed really well, and him just bringing up, oh, yeah, your parents died again this week.
Yeah. Thanks, Alfred.
Yeah. Kind of.
Way to be a dick.
Yep.
Rub salt in that wound.
I don't need help, Alfred. Leave.
Yeah, but that he's saying, you know, and it was true, though. Maybe you should be around family. Maybe you should. He's setting up more of why later on in the story there isn't some, like, why Damian isn't around, or why in a quick part of the conversation, you know, that Batman's kind of in Gotham right now by himself.
Right.
Without anyone else around. So, and also he's going through a little bit of emotional damage right now because that's coming up again. And he's working on some suit. Like, you get a lot of knowledge from this spot, as well as
Batman. You have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, kind of like, and even if it's not even, like, revealed later of anything else going on, it still makes this world more vibrant, more, instead of, like, oh, I'm just going to hunt them down, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm just going to go about finding these turtles, you're getting more backstory of, you know, like I said before, the emotions, and
I'm sure there's going to be some tension between Batman and the turtles, too. It's not going to be like, hey, we're all good, let's be bros. And I do want to point out that Michelangelo does use the word bruh, which is awesome. Yeah, we're aliens, bruh.
So if this is in the DC universe, like it looks like it is, does that make them teenage metahuman Ninja Turtles?
Well, if you got, I mean, I one of the things I was trying to find out is, so where are they going to talk about them being transported here? Because they obviously haven't been here forever. And you kind of got that towards the end when Shredder's right, looking for these transponders.
The to way to get back.
Get back home.
Yeah.
Which then makes sense that they, yeah, came from their place to here. And I loved it when Mikey goes, I think it was Mikey that was talking about how back home, this city would actually be a random grass field in the middle of the state of, and then it just cuts off.
Yeah.
Because how many times everyone says Gotham is New York?
Right.
But we also know by DC's land and geography that Metropolis is right next to.
See, I always thought Gotham was Chicago.
No, it's not in the heartland of. That's one thing that I know for sure it's not. They show the Statue of Liberty, I think, in
Do they?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I mean,
well, it's just basically insert big city here.
Right. Like, gritty city.
Except if it's Raccoon City, which
is
Metropolis just
below,
is just
more
south.
Chicago-y.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it's also apparently like right off of Kansas, which makes no damn sense.
Right.
But.
And that's the thing. So somehow this would be near Kansas then, because you know Smallville is Kansas. That's the only thing that is stated of where that, you know, city could be. But Metropolis is within seeing distance. And so I just love that inside joke was where normally we'd be in the real world that is mapped out correctly. This wouldn't even exist here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just thrown in of this isn't really New York, but it is, and we'll go from there.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that part.
My favorite part was the throwback to them getting the pizza in the sewer.
Yeah.
Like they do in every beginning of every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Leave it on the curb. Yeah. I love that Mikey couldn't reach it. So right.
Yeah, he was like trying to get his creepy mutant. Yeah.
Doing, like you got something stuck between your seats, trying to get it out with your two fingers.
Yeah. You need a quarter for that coffee.
Right. I definitely enjoyed that. And then when the Killer Croc showed up and he's like, it looks like a teenager's bedroom down here.
There was a lot of laughing moments within here. When Killer Croc destroys the Death Pony Racers or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Laser Pony Racers.
Michelangelo was pretty distraught after that. I mean, he was in mourning.
Yes.
Well, that brought up, in my mind, though, the conundrum of how long have they been here?
Right.
He's been playing this game that they got the gaming system.
Yeah.
And like I said, I want to know where this falls in time, too. This could just be a random offshoot, but with some of the other
ninjas. It's a safe house. It's like a turtle safe house, like they had one in Gotham. Like.
Well, they just know the sewers are safe, which I then love, though, when Croc's henchmen were like, why are we going through the sewers? And I understand why you are, because you're going to be setting up to battle the turtles, but like his just thing was, do you want to be seen going to the one place that Batman will be, and that their whole plan was not even to kill Batman or anything. They just wanted to scrap his car.
Yeah, like, they wanted to steal the
Batmobile.
That was
a whole
different,
not even to the main plot of this story, that I thought, this is awesome to see some bad guys doing something besides just going after Batman. Be smart about it. Mm-hmm. Batman will be away from his car, dismantle it, sell that shit on the black market. But, no, I really loved, well, now I forgot what I really loved. I loved everything.
There you go. Cover it with everything. Everything was funny.
No, I do know what I was going to go back to now. Brain cells are working again. Is with some of the other Turtles crossovers, like when they did it with Ghostbusters, it was known, it was even like put in like one of the little editor's notes of where this takes place within the issues of those comic books. This one obviously could be just separate. There was the huge X-Files crossover that they did as well that I picked up where it didn't seem like there was anything relevant from those, although there was a few mentions of, like, you know, the lone gunman in the Turtles. So it seems like there's a lot of, whenever they do these crossovers, there should be some continuity. If that being said, we do know Donnie is alive here, not in Metalhead, which I am a few issues behind Turtles, so I need to get caught up on there. Batman, I'm kind of like, I kind of gave up on Batman a while ago, except for God Chair Batman, so where this fits in.
Did you just say God Chair?
God Chair, essentially, yeah.
Dude, you need to read those. That's the best Batman that's ever been written.
Yeah, he's God of Knowledge right now.
He's in the Mobius Chair.
I don't know what the Mobius Chair is. It sounds badass. I mean,
It's
a chair of infinite knowledge, pretty much.
Yeah.
You just float around in.
Mm-hmm.
It is basis of the Thanos' chair, so that's where he gets his chair from.
Wonderful.
But anyways, that's a whole different side story.
Sorry.
So yeah, I want to piece together in some of the dialogue and what they're saying where this is happening within those the other issues of their main story arcs. But the biggest and badass moment was when Batman was trying to get some information from Stormtrooper there, and all of a sudden this ninja star comes out of nowhere to kill him, and I was like, man, one of his ninja clan buddies just, you know, axed him so he wouldn't talk. I'm like, oh, wait, that's not one of his buddies or a clansman.
It's the man himself.
Yeah, it's fucking Shredder. And just seeing him look down on Batman, I'm like, that is the fight that I want to see.
Yeah, yeah, I said
that. And not look like that piece of shit Michael Bay Shredder. Yeah.
The Silver Samurai.
Like, I mean, it's cool looking at these, like, I mean, it's what you talk about in elementary school. Wouldn't it be cool if we saw this person against this person?
Oh, yeah.
And then years later, it's
we still do that. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, no.
That is the basis of the game Super Fight.
No, it's still, it does still happen. It does still happen.
I'm starting to wonder if Alfred talks about dead parents to bring up, like, your father, and then maybe Splinter becomes, like, the father Batman never had. And
maybe he does it to help him focus on the pain. Like, that's when Batman is at his most potent badassery. Is I'm going to talk about your dead parents, Master Bruce, just to make you more pissed off to do something.
That's a strategic.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I've now noticed in anything of Gotham is there's always that blimp flying around. I'm just not looking at it, looking at a couple pages where when they show the scene of the city or in the background, there's always that like cop blimp that just flies around all the time, like.
Well, then Robo Batman.
There's a couple
gets deployed
of them.
From a blimp.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I feel like a blimp is a very ineffective way to get from crime scene to crime scene.
It's very very old-timey, and yeah. It kind of fits that like noir Gotham look,
I
though.
Guess.
Yeah. But it ends on, you know, the setup for the inevitable fight that, you know, is going to happen.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see that ninja on ninjas. Like, that would be cool. And, of course, turtles.
Yeah.
That is
so
fun. Yep.
Out of any crossover, this one is probably one of my favoritists of, like, top all time. Listeners, go pick this up. It's excellent.
It's fun. Yeah, for sure. So
there's that.
There's that.
Derek, you brought us some beer news, or at least some bad beer news.
Oh, yeah. This is time to rage a little bit.
Rage, bruh.
So as we kind of touched on before, AB InBev, Anheuser-Busch, is in the process of merging with SAB Miller, the other giant evil beer company. So we have the two, number one and number two, merging, basically creating a beer monopoly in the world. And we all know what happens when someone gets mad at Monopoly. You flip that board and say, fuck you. basically what they are trying to do, though, to all the smaller craft brewers that are not part of the ones that the giant conglomerate is trying to buy.
Is there anyone else besides Miller and InBev?
There's like Pabst and a few other smaller ones. Okay. Like Pabst owns all the weird, like Olympia and all the janky old beers. But they are the two biggest. And then there's all the independent stuff. But how like beer laws work in the country, you have to go through a distributor. And this is where this makes the biggest problem. They are essentially trying to buy up a lot of craft breweries so that they can produce and manage everything. And then give the distributors incentives to only sell their beer. They can get up to $1.5 million in like rebates for only selling beer from this company. Basically, they cannot line their shelves if they want this money with anything that doesn't come from SAB Miller, InBev,
so all
that combination.
All the microbreweries are going to get
all the microbreweries are essentially getting pushed out because they can't distribute themselves because Miller just buys what they want. Yeah. Well, AB InBev buys what they want and then shoves everyone else out. So it seems like a real shitty thing with the craft beer in this country that they could be just so bullied around and not be able to do anything about it because they have to go through these distributors.
That sucks. Do you think, though, I mean, with as big that the microbrews have been popping up left and right, that the evil corporation will see, fuck, maybe we shouldn't really piss off all these angry drunk people.
There needs to be a beer Batman.
Well, you know that there's inevitably going to be some giant antitrust or like, so they're not John Rockefeller with all the oil going on. But that said,
here's the thing though, monopolies in this country though, people just allow them to happen. I mean, the same thing is going to happen with the cable companies, Time Warner and Comcast, and no one bats an eye there, so.
It's true, and I did see when they, if the merger does completely go through, they do have to divest off like Coors. As its own separate company, kind of like when, because they would have, I guess, too much market share, which is the thing like that all the other ones do. Like I know when Verizon merged with Altel, they had to divest a bunch over to AT&T, which seemed kind of stupid because like, hey, rob Peter to pay Paul. We'll take this, but give you this to our other competitor. It's just
Altel
as huge.
Phone once. It had a flashlight on it. It was a shitty phone. It really was.
Do you think that that this giant beer company owning craft breweries will affect the beer that's being made at these craft breweries?
Yes and no. Because Goose Island, Ballast Point, all those have... Goose Island's been bought for a few years.
Right.
They're still putting out their standard things.
Right.
Like, Bourbon County's still their big one.
Yeah.
I just worry that they're going to get pushed out to not be able to do some of the, like, smaller batch experimental things that they want.
Okay.
Because the larger company's going to go, no, you're going to make these three staples.
Right.
And that's it. Screw you. You get no creativity. We own you.
So this merging is like Shredder, let's say. And the small town breweries... Just wrap your mind around that for a minute. Yeah, Shredder, merging, yeah, Monopoly. And then it's people like you that are the Turtles and Batman trying to fight against it and make people aware, like, hey, we need to fight this corporation.
James, I like you trying, but you're...
Shredder.
I appreciate you trying to bring that back in there to the comic book world.
Oh, are we done talking about that? Oh, sorry.
Derek, I'm now dubbing you our financial advisor,
okay,
as well as our beer advisor. Like, I just learned a lot of stuff about antitrust and...
I do work in a bank. I mean, it's kind of my job, but it's really...
Get money, make beer.
Yep. You know what? I just think this is going to do nothing but potentially hurt a lot of smaller businesses that are popping up. And obviously, small business support is
right.
Awesome.
Well, and like, so Grand Rapids, how many breweries do we have here?
A million.
Yeah.
A bajillion. And how much would it suck if they had to, a bunch of those had to shut down,
yes,
because one giant company bought like three big ones and said, fuck you to the rest of them.
I mean, these breweries are built by people.
And like, what needs to happen if this keeps going on is that the distribution laws need to change so that they can self-distribute to wherever they want.
I don't even drink, and I'm like, drink Michigan beer. Just do it.
I think we need to have another special... Drunk on Comics beer made for us. We had that happen 2 years ago.
We can record while brewing at my house.
Yeah,
we can just do that.
That's why I'm telling you, and I could have told you off the air, but I'm recording it so they can go back to
for
it.
For prosperity.
Say, yeah, remember when they...
Remember when you agreed to do
fine.
This in
you
your
tell
house.
Me the weekend, we'll just do it, and it'll be fine. I'll buy everything, we'll
I
make
think
some
we
beer.
Should
then we
get
another.
People to tell us what they think a Drunk on Comics beer should taste like.
IPA. As long as they say that, I'll be happy.
It's going to taste like bad decisions, like Tony's every weekend.
enough beer news. Something that I thought was very interesting and great for Mark Hamill to do is he's been going online for people that post like pictures of him with his signature and telling them if it's truly his signature or not. I mean, he's taken his own personal time to do this, but... And unfortunately, some people that have posted, you know, asking him, is this your signature on Twitter and send him a picture, he has to give the bad news of, no, that's not my signature. He's doing this mainly because there's a lot of vendors out there that sell fake signatures and price them, you know, very high because some people want to have a, you know, a signed
right.
autograph from a famous person. And he just thinks that that's bullshit, that people would be conning, you know, individuals at conventions for this. And so to help, you know, promote, like, whose his signature really is, he's helping anyone. So if you have a question of, is this his signature or not, get a hold of him on Twitter. And it'd be cool if more people did that. Could authenticate, you know, signatures.
Well, hell yeah, because it's expensive to get it actually authenticated.
Yeah, authenticated. And even not, like...
Are you talking about a celebrity caring about the masses?
Well, that's the thing. That's why I'm loving that Mark's doing this.
Especially a well-known recluse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as you were saying, too, to get stuff authenticated. And for some people, it's not even... I guess some people could live in, you know...
Denial and suppressed rage.
Pretty much so. And just pretend that the, you know, signature that I have is that person's and tell all your friends.
Right.
And if you're never going to sell it, fine. But also, some people that aren't going to ever sell it regardless anyways, you still want to know... But to pay an extra $100 to, can you look at this?
Right.
And you can go straight to the source. So,
that is really cool. Good job, Mark Hamill. So, Hellboy, you guys.
Yeah, he's...
He's coming to an end here soon.
That broke my heart.
Wow, bad pun.
Mike.
It wasn't even a pun. I think it was just...
bad?
Yeah.
So, after 25 years, Mike Mignola is... ending Hellboy with Hellboy in Hell.
And he's been in Hell for quite some time now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he killed him off, and everyone thought that was going to be the end. And then Hellboy in Hell popped up.
Well, you're more of a Hellboy person.
Yeah. So, he is going to continue the BPRD, though.
Right.
But then what, is he just going to get rid of Hellboy?
I'm sure Hellboy is just going to be comic book dead, like you put it. I'm sure they'll have to bring him
back. Do you think Ragnarok is going to happen? Like, he's going to come and be the devil and the world is going to be in flames?
I actually think that would be badass if they did that, like, be who you were born to be type situation. But but then again, you don't want him to because you love him so much. I mean, Hellboy is a lovable character.
But that's the thing, though, too. It'd be a memorable ending of a series. Like, mm-hmm. Holy shit, what they said in the beginning happened.
Yeah.
And that would be totally... I mean, but you do want the redeeming quality, but I thought the best part of, and I love the movies, mm-hmm. was the vision that it was of him with his long fucking horns and just apocalypse.
Perched with just destruction. Oh, yeah. That's like, what want you want to see it happen. But then again, you don't want him to lose that, you know, I don't want him to be all evil. Like, he has that lovable factor to him. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just... It's hard to get rid of that, especially with a character like Hellboy. But at the same time, you're like, well, he is a demon, so.
Yes. Relatable.
Yes.
Yeah. Cuddly little demon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not little, I guess.
He's so cute.
Well, it's just like, well, the Hand of Doom, well, that's what the Hand of Doom is for. Like, hey, this is awesome. This is powerful. I can punch things. But at the same time, it's a key of something I don't want to open.
Right.
Because if I open it, everybody dies.
So, as people aren't sick of Star Wars at all, hopefully they're not going to get sick of Indiana Jones.
Oh.
New Indiana Jones has been confirmed by Disney.
It makes my head hurt.
Why?
I don't want to think about it.
Because Crystal Skull was such a piece of shit.
It was not...
Don't even try to save that. No.
I haven't watched Indiana Jones.
No, it was pretty much like 2 hours of that awful bitch in Temple of Doom is what it reminded me of.
No, because it had one of... Had one of the best tropes ever of him jumping in the fridge to survive the nuclear blast. Like, that in of itself
wasn't
just made
that,
the movie.
Like, the you first
just
ruined the movie 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. I'm pissed off. I'm going to watch it.
You said you haven't seen that one either?
No.
Do you just not like Harrison Ford movies?
I don't
do yourself a favor. Go buy a copy of it and bury it in your backyard.
It because shit on it. Like,
it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've never been a big Indiana Jones fan.
No, that
Sorry.
Said,
I do love. I love.
Don't you
Indy.
Want something that can redeem that movie?
I
then?
Do, which is why after the prequel trilogy, maybe Disney can kind of redeem this because they did with Star Wars 7 after the abysmal prequel trilogy of whiny bitch Anakin. But yeah. I just worry that lightning won't strike twice, right. And they'll make something shitty, and then it'll ruin like Disney making movies for me.
Well, and Steven Spielberg said that the only way he would do another one is if Harrison Ford did it. And does Harrison Ford even want to be Indiana Jones again? He doesn't want to be Han Solo anymore.
See, from what I heard is that what they're trying to do with Crystal Skull was to set up a new Indiana Jones.
They just chose Shia LaBeouf, and they chose poorly.
Crazy, stinky Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, my God.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf.
They have said they won't do another indie movie without Harrison Ford.
Right.
So it is going to be old man Harrison Ford. Maybe he has a different kid in this one, because they now established he has a kid.
Maybe they'll gender swap and give him a daughter.
Just like the Crystal Skull, like he wakes up from a dream.
It's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Just make it Ronda Rousey. Like.
The one problem I did have with Crystal Skull was that they actually had like a real alien ship. Like, you did not need that. Like, you already had kind of like some.
It's got aliens in it? I didn't know that.
It is interdimensional beings.
Skull. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, not aliens, interdimensional.
Yes.
But like with Temple of Doom, aliens. The whole like grabbing the heart out while they're still alive, like that was kind of some cool
Kalima,
mysticism. Kalima. And you know, in the was it Last Crusade or no? What's the first one?
Temple
Raiders.
When you know they open the Ark and like the ghosts kind of come out, there
Angels.
Was a little bit of like you know mysticism and magic, but
right.
not too much overly overt. And then to have the aliens was just a little. I felt too far of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like the writers just went, fuck it, aliens, done. Like
aliens.
The ancient aliens.
Aliens. Aliens vs. Predator was a documentary.
Shot in real time.
That's my favorite meme.
You know, something that I learned this week is Apple's user agreement.
Oh, yeah. So, apparently, I mean, everybody, do you guys read user agreements at all?
I kind of want to after that South Park with the human centipede.
Yeah.
I don't want something like pooping in my mouth, but I said, Claire, do it, delicious. But, that yeah, no, I don't. Turn. It did take it. They got
they the got, phone they, pooping in your mouth.
Yeah.
Data poop.
I don't. They're fucking long and legalese-y and
94 pages of.
Yeah.
They probably have words in there that don't even exist. Right. Like,
it's just a bunch of random letters.
This is to make you feel dumb, agree to it.
So, you know what I would do if I owned a big company and I had a user agreement? I would put in there like a random like number that call, you know, first 100 callers wins $1,000 or something. Yeah,
we pay your phone bill for a year.
A couple places have done that, actually. Like a couple video game companies had like their end user license agreement, and they put like in like the 50th page of it, if you read this and email us, we'll give you a bunch of free shit. That and then they awesome. Did.
Yeah. Damn it, nice. That makes me maybe want to read.
Well, they also have that like when you use Wi-Fi at places. Like, hey... Well, like, for instance, the YMCA, like, hey, be a Christian, don't watch porn. Then you click OK, and then...
They give you what? Free Bibles?
You get Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Oh. It's like, they that give is... you free porn?
Yeah.
It's a test.
But anyway, they decided, not they...
Some guy.
Yeah.
His name is R. Sikoriak.
Yep. Decided to put it in comic book form.
A graphic novel. Yes, the iTunes terms and conditions, the graphic novel.
I wonder what R stands for.
I don't know.
That's what you're more interested in?
I'm sorry. I'm putting my two cents in. I'm just curious what the R stands for.
Well, this is the only reason why I'd ever read a user agreement.
Yeah, and well, so it's 94 pages, and he does, like, every page or every bit of the user agreement, he changes the style. So it's in, like, Watchmen, it's, like...
Snoopy,
I saw. Yeah, he does, like, classic superhero art, stuff like that. I would totally... If my phone came with something like that, I would fucking read it. For sure.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no one wants to read legalese.
No, it's mind-numbing. It's
and
boring.
The fact you're supposed to, no one ever does. They can tell you that they're going to, like, sacrifice your first child and turn you into a goat. And right. You'd be like, cool, click yes. I want to watch porn now.
I don't want to read all of it.
But you can't if it's at the YMCA. They'll block you.
From what I understand on Craigslist, that's not true. Because the Y is just a den for... Never mind. But point is, yes, I think everybody should get on board with the user agreements and comic book form.
All right, so that we
spend a lot of time patrolling Craigslist for YMCA casual hookups.
No, I love reading.
Tap your foot twice.
Lost Encounters.
I love the missed connections. Yeah. I fucking love reading those.
I saw your saggy ball sack in the steam room.
How's your golf swing, Pete? Oh, it's hanging like my left testicle. Yeah. See what Obama did? Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
So if anybody ever needs to get a coded message to me, just put it on the missed connections on Craigslist.
All right.
Giggly girl at the bar
to have shower man sex early in the morning before the real workout goes down.
Oh God!
Moving on. we said we were going to normally talk about these all the time of just with no substance to the movies, just stills and pictures. But it is the first picture of eggs. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Bandersnatch Cumberbatch. Yes.
As Doctor Strange. And I'm fucking impressed. Like, they nailed the character. He looks a little bit younger than I would think of the Doc, but I'm very excited from these couple pictures that were in Entertainment Weekly. He's got the part.
I always saw Doctor Strange as like Clark Gable. Like, stop it, Scott. I'm Doctor Strange now, not Clark Gable. Like that's exactly.
He does have that old timey look to him.
Yeah, the mustache, Clark Gable. Like,
but
one could say that about Tony Stark back in the day too, though. He had that look to him as well.
But that said, Brontosaurus Cracker Jack really does look old timey. So,
Brontosaurus Cracker Jack.
Are we just gonna start making up?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, they picked an actor that nerds love.
Yes.
And then that's a wonderful ploy, and it's gonna work.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm more excited for this movie or Deadpool.
Oh,
because I love both these characters and their books.
And they're actually making Colossus Russian. Like that's I'm excited for that.
Well, I want to know who that emo chick is that seems invincible in the newest trailer that I saw.
Doesn't
like,
she have a really crazy long name, like something nuclear?
The one that like runs into
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. I think he's talking about Gina Carano's like beast. I can't remember who Gina Carano is supposed to be in that.
I think that the chick that she runs into to knock against all the freight containers, I think she was in the recent reboot of American Gladiators.
Gina Carano?
Wait, there's
Crush.
TV show American Gladiators?
Gina Carano was an MMA fighter, too.
Yeah, that she was Crush in the reboot of American Gladiators.
Wait, when was the reboot of American Gladiators?
No,
it was like mid-2000s.
2007, 2008, maybe. Oh.
It was on for like a week.
Oh. So nowhere recently in knowledge, yeah.
No.
Obscure enough.
Just throwing that in there.
I've drank enough for those years are erased.
Dude, I was so amped for Gladiators.
Plus she was in, I think she was in The Fast and the Furious.
She was in
the No, I'm just kidding. Paul Walker.
Judy Garland was in this movie called Wizard of Oz.
Gina Carano is apparently Angel Dust.
In Deadpool?
Yeah.
I don't know that character.
Not really either.
No.
Maybe made up for it.
Could be. I'm excited about Deadpool.
Yes.
I'm going to weigh in on that.
Do you guys got any exciting censuses at the beginning of the year? Anything that you're looking forward to next year?
Besides Deadpool?
Yeah. Long pause. Think about it. I mean,
I don't think American Gods is going to be released this year because I know they've been working on making that into a series for so long.
Preacher.
Yes. I'm working my way through the first book right now. I'm excited. Yes.
I am excited for Negan to finally show up in Walking Dead.
There you go.
Considering he's like the best character ever.
I lied. What I was looking forward to this year. It's not Deadpool. It's not this Doctor Strange movie. It's Winds of Winter finally fucking coming out.
Didn't you just see it just got pushed back again?
It said that, and that's why I kind of bring it up now. It's not going to come out before the TV show, even though they haven't announced when the TV show is going to come out, which usually it hits around the first week of April, if they're maybe pushing it more towards summer. But it's still going to come out sometime this year. I think I'm actually honestly going to not watch the show. I'm going to, like, wait till...
Good luck avoiding those spoilers.
Yeah, that's your fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to choose. But I am a little pissed off at George there for... And he even, you know, he put a, you know, post of, it's my fault. You could blame it on going to conventions or this or that. But sometimes just the writing doesn't happen. But it's like, come on, man. It's been 10 years?
No, I mean, the most recent one was a couple of years ago. But it's, dude, that guy's going to die before this series is done. He's so slow at writing.
Yeah, he needs to have someone else, like, help have a ghostwriter. Like, someone else. You don't need to tell me the feasts that everyone is eating for this person.
Someone can write all the mind-numbing 300 pages of drivel. Like, yeah, I ate
that is what I love about the he goes into detail. I do love that. But I am looking forward to that, so that's what.
Right on. Anything else anybody's looking forward to? I'm looking forward to Dark Gem, but that comes out next month, so that's kind of early.
Has anybody read Monstrous yet?
Yes.
Is that good?
It is amazing.
Okay.
The art in it, it's all female
writing,
art, and everything.
I know I want to pick up Bitch Planet because I've heard a lot of wonderful things about that.
Yeah, that's what Kelly Sue DeConnick does that one.
It escapes me this moment.
The rise of women in comic books is very exciting.
It's true.
It is. I enjoy it. So, yeah, but Monstrous, everyone should pick that up. If you guys haven't read it, I have issues 1 and 2.
I'm working on Beauty right now. That's a really
that's a sexually transmitted disease.
The one that came with free condoms.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm four issues deep, and it's got a Scully Mulder relationship going on. And
was the fact you used four issues deep?
I know. It made me giggle.
Did you like that?
It made
that?
The perv and me giggle.
Yeah. Kind of like me caulking the mouse hole.
Yes. God, I was so mad I wasn't here for that one.
It's actually making, like, ugly people like myself use the hashtag, like, beauty free, which means you're not going out and getting full of yourself, which it's a good message. It's a healthy message.
Right.
It's a healthy message. But then again, you realize that, hey, I'm saying this because I don't find myself attractive, and then you're back to where you started.
That was an interesting circle that was made there. Oh, man.
All right, well, Booze in the Book this week is a pairing that the reason why I pair them together is because it was my birthday, and the drink has nothing really to do with the comic book, but the comic book has to do also with my birthday, and it's Transformers Sins of the Wreckers number 2. I've always loved Transformers. Those were the toys that I look forward to getting. I always got those. And it's just, it's my childhood.
And you still do.
Yeah. He still gets erections
for
him.
He did not want
to
grow up.
Oh, I mean, he still likes erecting them, is what I meant to say.
And I'm going to pair that.
And steal all your alien toys.
I'm going to pair that with what I had this week when I went to Dave & Buster to celebrate my birthday. Their snow cone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is a DeCooper Watermelon Pucker, Malibu Coconut Rum, Pinnacle Cherry Vodka, DeCooper Blue Caraca.
Please, God, no!
A splash of Sprite and pomegranate
syrup. No! Not the fucking Caraca! It's Curacao! I know you did it just to make me angry, but God damn it!
But if you've never been to a Dave & Buster's, I used to say it's the adult like version of like Chuck E. Cheese.
That whole like interaction was just like watching your parents like split up, but trying to process it when you're 2 years old.
The Caraco argument.
Caraco.
No, but it is like an adult Chuck E. Cheese. But I've now realized though it's not that. It's a fucking casino.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Place rapes you for money. I lost so much playing the fucking rigged claw game. Like, I love claw games. I cannot play it. But then I'm realizing every time I'm putting this in,
you need to hit the claw game at Brands on Leonard, man. You get like 5 Tootsie Rolls when you use that every time.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, I did play a game, though, where I hit 2 jackpots. Actually, one of my friends hit multiple jackpots on this, like, you have to hit it just right, like one of those like strongman light up to the ring thing.
The mallet?
Yeah, but it's not really that. It's, you're supposed to have not too hard of a press or not too soft of a press to get it to land like right at the sweet spot.
Well, that's no fun. You want to just balls to the wall, try to break the machine.
Oh, yeah. But he won multiple things, so he got me a giant mustache banana, which is in my living room.
Which we'll take, we'll take.
I
would have
thought you would have spent your 30,000 credits on like a Chinese finger trap and then got stuck
selfie
on your
with
dick,
it?
But
yeah, Tony, you should selfie with the banana, and I'll post it on Twitter.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of my friends did last night, but no, the coolest game, which I hit the button. It's one of those where you have to land it right on the jackpot button, and then you win all the tickets. If not, you win like 1 or 2. It's going around, and what the reason why I got intrigued by it was this giant balloon, and there's a buzzsaw underneath it, and I'm like, oh, that seems cool. And if you land on anything else, you have the potential of popping the balloon and winning the prize.
And
but
hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. No, here's the deal though. Like if it lands on anything else, it will blow up the balloon a little bit more because the balloon's got to get big enough so that the buzzer will hit it. Go around, I hit it once, and I just missed the mark to have instant blow up. Second time, hit it, fucking win. And
fucking win.
It was the coolest, most satisfying game ever to watch this balloon get bigger and bigger, and then the buzzsaw go pop. And then I won all my tickets, too, so it was fun. But
nice.
That was my week.
So that was Booze in a Book?
Oh, yes.
Booze in a Book, journey into Tony's mind.
Transformers
and the snow cone.
Yes.
Really,
Tony's.
It's really not a great pairing, except for
they're both reminiscent of childhood.
Transformers have a lot of different colors.
That sounds like an amazing pickup. Like, hey, you want to go Transformers in a snow cone? Like, I don't even.
It's like the new Netflix and chill.
Yeah, yeah. Netflix and Transformers in a snow cone. Sure, Tony, I'll sleep with you.
Said no one ever.
Is that what you call it? Is a snow cone?
I didn't say that. That was brutal.
Fuck you guys. We're gonna end this podcast. I forget what we even said because we took last week off, but final thoughts?
Fuck you, Tony.
I can't wait to do this again. This was a lot of fun.
Nope.
From the bottom of my heart, if I get invited back. Because I was like clinking like bottle tops and this weird like bracelet together, and Tony was telling me
pretty much have to just purge the area of things you can touch.
Yeah, because
he's
fidgety. I'm a fidgeter. But don't take too much stuff away because I might just play with myself if that's the case.
Oh, well,
it probably wouldn't be the first time. Tony wears pajama pants every day.
Yeah,
you know why.
Yeah.
Hangovers. They're God's way of saying you kicked ass last night.
Very
stay
nice.
Thirsty for snow cones.